today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Music is all about music.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs. My name is Patrick Foster. On behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to welcome you to this edition of our program. We're currently presenting the Heroes of Rock series, which examines contributors to the far-reaching genre of rock. From pioneers to superstars, little-known artists to trailblazers, one thing unites these heroes. They had the rock inside them, and they found a way to let it out. Today, Bob Marley.
About music when it hits you.
You'll be okay.
Whoa, I say one good thing about music when it hits you.
You'll be okay.
Hit me with music, yeah.
Hit me with music now.
This is
Trenchtown Rock.
Don't watch that.
Trenchtown Rock.
Big fish or sprat now.
Trenchtown Rock.
You reap what you sow.
Trenchtown Rock.
And only I know.
Trenchtown Rock.
I never turn my back.
Trenchtown Rock.
I give the summer try.
Trenchtown Rock.
I never let the children cry.
Trenchtown Rock.
All you got to tell Jaja why.
Ruben.
It's Kingston 12.
Ruben.
It's Kingston 12.
Ruben.
It's Kingston 12 now.
Ruben.
It's Kingston 12.
Know why you come down so.
Oh no,
no, why you think I love so?
Scabba dip, scabba dip. Scabba dip, dip, scabba dip, scabba
dip.
Whoa, whoa, I'm a groover. And the world knows by now,
Bob Marley was born February 6, 1945, in St. Anne Parish, Jamaica, to Sadella Malcolm, an Afro-Jamaican who was 18 years old, and Norvell Sinclair Marley, a white Jamaican who was close to 64 at the time. He had little contact with his son after he was born. Bob's grandmother was his main family musical inspiration. His first musical experience was singing with his childhood friend Neville Livingston, later known as Bunny Wailer. When he was about 12, Marley and his mother moved to the Trenchtown section of Kingston. Marley's mother and Thaddeus Livingston, Bunny Wailer's father, had a daughter together named Claudette Pearl, who was a younger sister to both Bob and Bunny. With Bob and Bunny living together in the same house, their musical explorations deepened to include the new ska music and the latest R&B from the United States, played on radio stations whose broadcasts reached Jamaica. Along with Peter Tosh, the pair formed a vocal trio variously known as the Teenagers, the Wailing Rude Boys, the Wailing Wailers, and finally, just the Wailers. Joe Higgs, who was part of the successful vocal act Higgs and Wilson, lived nearby and encouraged Marley. Marley and the others did not play any instruments at this time and were more interested in being a vocal harmony group. Higgs helped them develop their vocal harmonies and began teaching Marley how to play the guitar. Initially recording ska and rock steady, the trio recorded four songs for producer Leslie Kong before they worked with Coxone Dodd at Studio One. Their single Simmer Down, recorded for the Coxone label, became a Jamaican number one in February 1964, selling an estimated 70,000 copies.
Yeah.
This first period of Marley's career was marked by experimentation. They played and recorded with a wide variety of musicians from the Kingston scene and relative obscurity outside Jamaica, but it laid the rhythmic and spiritual foundation for everything that followed in Marley's career. In 1966, Marley married Rita Anderson and moved near his mother's residence in Wilmington, Delaware, during which he worked as a DuPont lab assistant and on the assembly line as a forklift operator at a Chrysler plant in nearby Newark under the alias Donald Marley. Though raised Catholic, Marley became interested in Rastafarianism when away from his mother's influence. After returning to Jamaica, Marley formally converted to Rastafari and began to grow dreadlocks. The group's conversion shaped their lyrical themes of resistance, spirituality, and black identity. He was also constantly searching for a path to sustained success as the 1960s drew to a close, recording some pop demos, working with a label and production company founded by American singer Johnny Nash, and even bringing his wife Rita into the group while Bunny Livingstone was imprisoned on a marijuana charge. They even cut an album's worth of material for Leslie Kong, who issued it under the confusing title The Best of the Wailers, much to the group's displeasure. Marley then turned to the inimitable producer Lee Scratch Perry, who paired the Wailers with his house band, The Upsetters. The collaboration was short-lived, but it produced some spine-tingling records, including Duppy Conqueror, Small Axe, Kaya, Tosh's 400 Years, and Bunny's Dreamland. In hindsight, this collaboration produced some of the best music Marley ever recorded and some of the best Perry ever produced. The otherworldly Mr. Brown is a prime example. Signing with Island Records and producer Chris Blackwell was the turning point in Marley's career. In 1972, he was on a UK tour with soul singer Johnny Nash. While in London, the Wailers asked their road manager, Brent Clark, to introduce them to Blackwell, who had licensed some of their releases for Island Records in the UK. The Wailers intended to discuss the royalties associated with these releases. Instead, the meeting resulted in an offer of an advance of £4,000 to record an album. Since Jimmy Cliff, Island's top reggae star, had recently left the label, Blackwell was primed for a replacement. In Marley, Blackwell recognized the elements needed to snare the rock audience. Quote, "I was dealing with rock music, which was really rebel music," he said. "I felt that would really be the way to break Jamaican music, but you needed someone who could be that image. When Bob walked in, he really was that image," end quote. The Wailers returned to Jamaica to record at Harry J's in Kingston, which resulted in the album Catch a Fire, released in 1973. Blackwell overdubbed most of the tracks on Catch a Fire and de-emphasized the bass-forward sound, which was the rage, as reggae was taking over Kingston musical circles at the time. The LP got a positive reception from critics in the UK and US, and Stir It Up remains a standout recording, but the sound turned off many listeners in the Wailers' homeland. Released at the end of 1973, the Wailers' next effort, Burnin', was based on classic trench town elements and was embraced by a wide audience, especially after Eric Clapton turned one of the tracks, I Shot the Sheriff, into a number one hit cover in the fall of 1974. The Wailers re-recorded three songs from the Lee Scratch Perry sessions and opened the record with one of their classic statements of defiance.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth.
Disbanded in 1974, with each of the three main members pursuing a solo career. During this period, Blackwell gifted his Kingston residence and company headquarters at 56 Hope Road, then known as Island House, to Marley. Housing the Tuff Gong Studios, the property became not only Marley's office, but also his home. Natty Dread from 1974 and Rastaman Vibration from 1976 introduced reggae to global rock audiences. Marley was increasingly cast as a countercultural icon in the mold of a rock star, which helped broaden reggae's reach enormously. Just 2 days before the now-famous 1976 Smile Jamaica concert, Marley's home was raided by gunmen who shot Bob, Rita, and two members of Marley's entourage in what was likely a politically motivated attack. Undeterred, Marley promised to perform a song at the concert and ended up performing for nearly 90 minutes. This cemented his near mythological status. Marley left Jamaica in 1976, settling in England. In addition to a famous four-night stand at the Rainbow Theatre in London, he recorded Exodus with a group that included brothers Carlton and Aston, family man Barrett on drums and bass respectively, and the I3s, a vocal trio consisting of Judy Mowat, Marsha Griffiths, and Marley's wife Rita. The resulting album stayed on the British album charts for 56 consecutive weeks. It included four UK hit singles, Waiting in Vain, Jamming, One Love, which interpolates Curtis Mayfield's hit People Get Ready, and the title track, which became a staple on U.S. black radio stations. After the success of Exodus, Marley transcended music to become a symbol of third world politics, pan-Africanism, and spiritual liberation. His final pair of studio recordings, Survival from 1979 and Uprising, released in 1980, along with the iconic live album Babylon by Bus, were embraced by a whole new generation of fans, and posters and t-shirts featuring his image were a staple of U.S. college campuses. He performed at Zimbabwe's independence celebrations in 1980, a defining moment of his political significance. Marley was diagnosed with skin cancer in 1977 and resisted advice to have his toe amputated. He continued to work and record and planned an ambitious tour in 1980 to support Uprising, including a show that drew 100,000 fans to the iconic San Siro Stadium in Milan, Italy. The tour reached the U.S. in the fall, and on September 21, 1980, Marley collapsed while jogging in Central Park and was taken to a hospital, where it was found that his cancer had spread to his brain, lungs, and liver. Marley's last concert took place 2 days later at the Stanley Theater in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. His death from cancer in May 1981 at age 36 was a massive blow, but the posthumous Legend compilation would go on to become one of the best-selling albums in history, and remains a touchstone for multiple generations of music fans. For his uncompromising drive to create, astonishing ability to articulate the feelings of so many people who struggle against oppression of all sorts, and a voice that expressed sorrow and rage as effectively as any in music history, Bob Marley is a hero of rock.
Sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. but my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs, redemption songs.
In hindsight, this collaboration produced some of the best music Marley ever recorded and some of the best Perry ever produced.